Thank you, Brother John, Miss Brenda, and Miss Susan. I appreciate each of you being here today. If you have your Bibles, we're going to be in Mark chapter 8. And this morning we're going to go to verse 13 through 26. And we saw Jesus last week feed the 4,000, which was probably around 16,000. And then he talked about to the Pharisees wanting this sign. And he said, I'm not going to give you a sign. And as he talks to these Pharisees about this, he gets into his boat with his disciples and they go to Bethsaida, which is Peter and Andrew's hometown. And as they're along the way, there's some conversation that arises. And it arises about the Pharisees and Herod. Now, in Matthew's gospel, it's going to talk about the Pharisees and the Sadducees. But since we're in the gospel of Mark, we're going to talk about the Pharisees and the Herodians. And there is a danger in our churches today, and I am guilty of this, of falling into the trap of being a Pharisee. There was a pastor, and I want to read these to you just real quick. He might be kin to Brother Randy. I don't know. His name's Larry Osborne. He pastors North Coast Church in California, and you think, oh, man, here we go, liberalism at its finest. No, very, very conservative. I have not read the book, but I looked at a synopsis of it as I was researching for this message, and there were some things that he tackled that I thought about, and I thought about you and I, especially me, that I fall into these traps sometimes. So I just want you to think about yourself this morning and let me think about me and let's see where we fall into this. Mr. Osborne writes in this book called Accidental Pharisees. And I think that's so true, that we don't purposefully come into the Lord's house to become a Pharisee, but sometimes we get this attitude of being a Pharisee. So let's work our way through these, and I want to talk to you just real quick about what Jesus said about the Pharisees. And man, I'm going to tell you what, if this don't hit you right between the eyes, you better check your pulse this morning, because all of us fall into this trap. Larry Osborne said in his book, Accidental Pharisees, he said, the number one thing you can see in Pharisees is pride, and it starts by comparing ourselves to others. Well, I'm not as bad as Brother so-and-so. I'm not as bad as Sister so-and-so. And we make these comparisons to people in the church. We make comparisons outside the church. The Lord has definitely given us a discerning spirit. He's giving us a spirit to judge. But when we look at these things here today, pride can be a killer. And it makes people elevate themselves above others where they think that they're right and everybody else is wrong. And let me tell you something today, church. Not every one of us in here today are right. I'm not right all the time. You're not right all the time. And pride inflates our ego and it inflates our mind to where we think that we are the only one that has the monopoly on being right about every issue. And let me tell you something today. We are not right about everything. Pride. It's a killer. Number two, the second thing he talks about is exclusivity. Exclusivity. We know in the kingdom of God that his chosen, his sheep will be called. We know that. That's throughout the Word of God. But we should never say that because we are New Hope Baptist Church that you have to make a certain amount of money, or you have to be the lineage of this last name, or you have to be from this side of the tracks to come to this church. We should welcome everybody into these doors. And I told you last week, I'm disappointed at us sometimes when we get families, when we get people coming to our church, and we don't say hello to them. I have stayed up here due to COVID. I have also stayed up here because it seems like more people will come talk to you in private than they will back there in the back shaking everybody's hand. And people have come up here saying, I want to know about the Lord. I want to know about scriptural baptism, wherein right back here, when people's behind them, they won't whisper that to you. They won't talk to you about that. But up here, they're willing to do that. But we need to include everyone coming into the house of the Lord. That is not universalism. That is not liberalism. That is, everyone needs to hear the gospel preached. Number three, Legalism. Now, when you hear Pharisee, that's the first thing you think of. And the Pharisees always got to have a litmus test. Jesus says, or Paul says, he says, do not be drunk. Pharisee says, don't drink anything. The word says, do not fornicate. And Pharisees say, no dancing, no swimming in pools together with males and females. And they put all these restrictions and rules on people where you are just burdened down. And as you're burdened down, you feel like you can't do anything because everybody is nitpicking these little rules. A Pharisee. Boy, have I fallen into that? Do I have any amens this morning? Number four, idolizing the past. Boy, I remember back in the old days here when we used to do this. I remember back in the old days here when this was going on. I remember back in the old days this was happening here at New Hope Baptist Church. I remember. Instead of relishing the beauty of the present. And you ought to have heard, you who missed that men's breakfast yesterday, missed an outstanding speaker. And what he said was spot on the money. So many of our little country churches are dying off. He said it chills him to the bone when he drives by and sees a church with a for sale sign in front. And New Hope Baptist Church, because the Lord has put His hand upon us, is being blessed at this time. And we need to relish in that. Not be thinking about 10 years ago. 10 years ago is gone. What we have is right now. And we need to relish with what we have right now. But Pharisees, they always remember the past. Pharisees also want uniformity. They want everybody to be clear, cookie-cut mold. Boy, this is me in how I think and how I do things. But when you put the gifts that God has given each member in the body of Christ together, everybody brings a unique perspective to the Lord's body, and therefore there are going to be differences, therefore there are going to be changes, therefore there are going to be people with different ideas than you have, and if they have different ideas than you have, God bless them for that. And we need to think about that today. Uniformity is not always the best policy. It is not always being in one accord. When you have to be uniform to how we do things. Mr. Osborne said, last but not least, he talked about gift projection. Everyone should be called, just like me, to serving the Lord. There are some of you in here that's very passionate about music and very passionate about the choir. There's some people, I'll be honest with you, it's like a hill of beans to them. There's some people like me that are very passionate about the preaching of the word. Some people in here, that's not their call. There's some people that are very passionate about building the grounds or passionate about serving kids or passionate about whatever it may be, technology, passionate about that. And that's just not me. And we think that we've got to get everybody blended into one mold, this gift projection. And that can come up with a pharisaical mind and a pharisaical attitude. And Jesus talks about these Pharisees in Mark chapter 8. He says in verse 13, he left them and getting into the boat again, departed to the other side. And the disciples had forgotten to take bread, and they did not have more than one loaf with them in the boat. Then he charged them, saying in verse 15, take heed, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod. Now, leaven is yeast, and we know that it causes things to rise. Dr. Pentecost, the famous First Baptist preacher in Dallas, Texas, said this, leaven in the Bible is tendency working invisibly. Tendency working invisibly. And he's saying here that there is a tendency of the Pharisees and a tendency of Herod working inside the disciples. In church, we are no different today. There is a tendency rising at New Hope Baptist Church in a pharisaical attitude and an attitude of Herod. And let me explain that this morning as we dive into the Word of God. In verse 16, they reasoned among themselves, saying, it is because we have no bread. Here's the disciples, just like you and I, spiritually blind, all about their stomach, all about what time we're going to go eat. What time we eating today. That's all they cared about. The reason Jesus said that is because we have no bread. And he's listening to them here. And as he's listening to them here, in verse 17, he says, Jesus, being aware of it, said to them, why do you reason because you have no bread? Why do you reason because you have no bread? And he said, do you not perceive nor understand? Is your heart still hardened? MacArthur said there are two facets to a hardened heart. And I would encourage us to really think about our hearts this morning. Number one, he said, a hardened heart is a rebellious heart. God, you're not going to tell me what to do. Church, whatever's preached in the pulpit today, you're not going to tell me what to do. A rebellious heart is going to do what you want to do. And when you do what you want to do, let me tell you something, you're going to fail. Because we fail. We're of a sin nature. In a sin nature, there is no good in us. There is nothing in us that is good. And praise God, when we're saved by the blood of Jesus Christ, He restores into us righteousness where we can do all things through Christ. And it's not in us. It's all because of Him. So if you are one of those people that are hard-hearted this morning, maybe you're rebellious. You're rebellious. The Holy Spirit's telling you to do one thing and you're doing the other. The Holy Spirit's leading you this way, but you're fighting Him every step of the way. Been there, done that. Number two, MacArthur said a hardened heart is insensitive. Insensitive spiritually. Insensitive to others, insensitive to Christ, insensitive to the Holy Spirit calling them. Insensitive to all things. And I think sometimes we become very insensitive. I think we say things that are very hurtful to other people. I think we do things that are very hurtful to other people. I think we have an attitude of preeminence that is very hurtful to other people, like Diotrephes in 2 John. So I would think about these things this morning. Like, we think we know it all. And we think we got all the answers, and we dominate the conversation instead of, the good Lord gave us one mouth and two ears, listening to people, listening to their concerns. Spiritually insensitive. Is your heart still hardened? That's a great question for us this morning, church. Jesus goes on, he says, having eyes, do you not see? And having ears, do you not hear? And he says, do you not remember? Do you not remember? When I broke the five loaves for the 5,000, how many baskets full of fragments did you take up? And the disciples said to him, 12. He gives them a little history lesson here. In verse 20, also when I broke the 7 for the 4,000, how many large baskets full of fragments did you take? And they said, 7. So he said to them, how is it that you do not understand? So we want to talk about this today. How is it that you do not understand? God supplies all our needs. Have faith in God, for He takes care of His own. There is not one of us in here that is not His sheep that He is not taking care of. And He tells His disciples, don't you remember? I had 12 baskets for you. Don't you remember I had 7 large baskets for that crowd that followed us? Don't you remember these things? He said, I'm not talking about the literal bread. I'm not talking about the little fish. I'm talking about when you let leaven rise in your hearts and you let leaven rise in your body of Christ, then you have a dangerous thing that you're dealing with. The Pharisees, this attitude of hypocrisy, this attitude of unbelief, this attitude that says man-made beliefs triumph the Word of God. This attitude of Herodians, of the leaven of Herod, that there is a political power in the church, and that political power in the church, maybe I shouldn't have preached this on Pastor Appreciation Day, but this needs to be preached. That because you have a last name, you're somebody in the church. Because you have a title, you're somebody in the church. Because you're the chair of this or the chair of that, or you think you're somebody in the church, that you can just dominate others. This political power in the church. And if you say, oh, there's no such thing, then you are living under a rock. These people that think they have all this power, and they use it to their advantage.
and they oppress. And it is evident, it's an oppression around the church when they had this attitude of preeminence. They had this attitude of dominance. They had this attitude of bickering and fighting and squabbling and being negative about everything. There's nothing ever good happening at New Hope Baptist Church. It breaks my heart that there is this hypocrisy of the Pharisees and the Herodians that sneak into our hearts. In church, if I'm not preaching to you this morning, I'm preaching to me. Because it's easy to be an accidental Pharisee. You know what I've learned through my experience in life? My experience in life tells me this. The ones that are really Pharisees, they never really get it. I'm not a Pharisee. I'm not. There's nothing wrong with me. As a matter of fact, when you look at me in the mirror, Michael, don't you see pure perfection? Don't you see that there's nothing wrong with me? Don't you see that I'm always right? I remember Brother Harry Huff, our Bible teacher here, went to home to be with the Lord. Brother Harry Huff taught a Bible class over here. He moved to First Baptist, and he was teaching a Bible class at First Baptist, and a man come up to him and was very adamant about a scripture in the Bible and just tore into Brother Harry. And Brother Harry said, "You sure are dogmatic about that, sir." And he said, "Yeah, I'm dogmatic about it because I'm right." That's how Pharisees are. They're right about everything. And when they're right about everything, they just push on people and push on people and push on people because their way is the only way. Let me tell you the only way this morning. The only way is Jesus Christ. Pharisees. What did Jesus say about the Pharisees? Let me see if I have time. Yeah, we do. Jesus said, "Pharisees do not practice what they preach. Pharisees put heavy burdens on people." Jesus said, "Pharisees do good deeds to be seen by others." Jesus said, "Pharisees love the seat of honor." Jesus said, "Pharisees shut the door of heaven in front of people's faces." Wow. Jesus said their followers is twice as much a child of hell as they are themselves. Pharisees are blind guides. Pharisees are blind fools. Jesus said Pharisees are hypocrites. And Jesus said Pharisees are whitewashed tombs. And Jesus said Pharisees are nothing but a brood of vipers. Wow. Wow. I don't know about you, but that ought to bring us to conviction this morning. I don't know about you, but that ought to bring us to an altar call this morning. I don't know about you, but I think every one of us in here, if we look at our lives spiritually, we see these Pharisaic attitude and this Herodian attitude seeping into our hearts, into our minds, and then it comes out of our mouth and it comes out in the public way that we serve in the church. How dangerous this is, church. So, Michael, what do we do from here? I'm so thankful the Lord gives us the answer. Do you know this is the only time this is talked about in the Gospels, this next section? Only time is found in the book of Mark. Jesus has been encountered by these Pharisees, and they are griping and complaining. And they are raising all kinds of you-know-what. And they are not showing any mercy. They are not showing any grace. They are just going to town on everybody they can, Jesus and His disciples. Do you think that deterred our Lord Jesus Christ? It only fired Him up even more. When they got to Bethsaida, I want you to see what happened. I think this is important for our church this morning. When we have pharisaical attitudes in the church, when we have Herodian attitudes in the church, do we cower down and bow down to that type of attitude, or do we just keep on working till Jesus comes? Look at what He did. In verse 22, He came to Bethsaida, and they brought a blind man to Him and begged Him to touch him. Remember, Jesus is in the saving business, folks. And I want you to think about this morning as we walk through this story that's only told in Mark. This blind man was brought to Him in Bethsaida, and in verse 23, He took the blind man by the hand, and He led him out of the town of Bethsaida. Let him out of the town from Bethsaida. Because number one, he wasn't from there. And as he led him out of the town, when he had spit on his eyes and put his hands on him, he asked him if he saw anything. Remember, we talked about this. Saliva had a healing power to it. The Romans believed that. The Jews believed that. That there was a healing power to saliva. There was a healing power to the spit. And when Jesus spit, boy, Heidi, don't you know that it was powerful? And when he spit and put it in his hands, he laid his hands on him and he asked him if he saw anything. In verse 24, I love this. This is incredible. This is the picture of regeneration. This is the picture of the rebirth. This is the picture of you and I being born again. Look at this. In verse 24, the blind man looked up and said, I see men like trees walking. I see men like trees walking. Dr. Rogers, our pediatrician, Rick Rogers, we love him so much in Tyler. He's such a good man, good-hearted man, good Christian man. Always gives us great advice, except when it comes to vaccines. But anyways, he told me when we first had Brooke, he said her little eyes have not developed yet. And she's going to see rather large objects. But for her to know her mama and daddy's face, you need to get very close to her and you need to grin at her. You need to talk to her. You need to sing to her. You need to read to her. And she will recognize your face. And boy, howdy, church. There's nothing more precious and reaching down and looking at that little baby, and they see your face, and I've got an old ugly face. But she would just smile, and she would kick those legs and kick those arms because she could see her daddy's face. Listen to me this morning. This gentleman could see big objects. He was like a newborn in Christ. You remember when you first got saved? Hallelujah! I was excited. I was on the back porch of that patio right over there. And I ran down and told my dad and mom on my brother's birthday on this earth, the Lord Jesus saved my soul. I was excited about that. That he had changed my life. But I was just a little kid in Christ. You remember that? And boy, listen, guys. I messed up a lot. I messed up a lot. Y'all know what I'm talking about? When you first receive Christ and you're a babe in Christ and you're trying to walk with Him, don't we fall? When you try to walk with Him, don't you crawl? When you try to walk with Him, boy, don't you mess up? And here's this blind man saying, I see men like trees walking. But then look what happens next. Praise God. In verse 25, Jesus put His hands on his eyes again. And He made him look up. And as He made him look up, he was restored. And listen to this. He saw everyone clearly. He saw everyone clearly. Right now, you and I who are saved, we are going through a sanctification process. He says, you be holy because I'm holy. And He's sanctifying us because, see, He is the potter and we are the clay. And He's shaping us to be who He wants us to be. And so we're going through this sanctification process right now. But praise God, this sanctification process is going to hurt a little bit. This sanctification process is going to knock us to our knees a little bit. This sanctification process is going to do things to us that are uncomfortable. But let me tell you about the end result. The end result is a restoration of sight, where this man, when he looked and saw everyone clearly, there is coming a day, New Hope Baptist Church, that when the hypocrites will be to the side, the Herodians will be to the side, all the negative attitude and bickering and infighting will be to the side, and you and I will not only be restored by regeneration and rebirth in Christ, we will not only be sanctified in Christ, but there's a day coming, and this is a beautiful picture of it, we will be glorified in Christ. That day is coming soon. That day is coming soon. And this picture of him being restored, his vision, is a beautiful illustration to us as believers that the Lord is going to take care of his own. He's going to do it, church. Verse 26.
Then he sent him away to his house. And he said to him, neither go into the town. This is how we know that the blind man was not from Bethsaida, because he said, don't go to the town, go to your house. And he said, don't tell anyone in the town. Don't tell anyone in the town. I am thankful today at New Hope Baptist Church that Christ always responds to faith. He always does. Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ shall be saved. Aren't you thankful for that today? He always responds to faith. And let me tell you also about what Jesus Christ does. He always responds to the needs of His sheep. And His sheep are going to be taken care of. And this man was His sheep. And this sheep was taken care of. And I want you to see the end results of this. There is no mention elsewhere of this man in the Bible. So Dr. MacArthur concludes that this man, not only was he reborn, not only was he healed physically, but the next thing was, is that this man was obedient. Because he didn't go to the town, he didn't go out and tell everyone, he went to his house and he praised the Lord. And folks, that's our challenge today. When the negative Pharisees and Herodians get us down, my prayer to you, my prayer to New Hope Baptist Church, is that we keep on serving the Lord. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for your grace, for your mercy. Lord, I have come to you in honesty about these things. Lord, help me in my pride. Help me in my legalistic attitudes towards things. Lord, convict my heart that where sin abounds, grace abounds much more. Lord, we praise you today. I pray for the person here today that may not know you. I pray today that you call them unto yourself, that today is the day of salvation. Lord, I pray for us as believers at New Hope Baptist Church that you strengthen us. And through this sanctification process, through these trials and tribulations, through these things that we're going through personally in our lives and corporately as a church, Lord, I pray that we have the attitude of James, that we count it as joy. We count it as joy. Lord, mold us into who you want us to be. Mold our church into the lighthouse in this community. And not only into this community, but into the other parts of the earth, as we send people to share the great news of Jesus Christ. Lord, thank you for the service this morning. Lord, I thank you for this church. And Lord, I'm humbled by this incredible gift. And Lord, most of all, we're humbled by your incredible gift of salvation. We love you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. At this time, Sunday school has started. If you would like to go to Sunday school, help yourself. Tonight, we'll be back in the book of Proverbs. And don't forget Wednesday night Bible studies, a lot of cool stuff. And then also next Sunday, if you can, stay for lunch. And we'll also have our missionary here with us in the morning for about a 15-minute presentation. So I hope, and I'll be preaching as well from the Gospel of Mark. So please be back next Sunday morning. Love you guys and appreciate you. Amen. Thank you, Brother John. Appreciate Miss Brenda and Miss Susan. And I appreciate all of you being here today. If you have your Bibles, I hope you do, let's turn to the Gospel of Mark. And this morning we'll go to start in verse 13 and let's go to verse 26. If you're able, let's stand in honor of God's Word. The Pharisees were seeking a sign after the feeding of the 4,000, which was probably around 16,000. And Jesus says, I'm not going to give you a sign. And so in verse 13, we pick up and it says, he left them and getting into the boat again, departed to the other side. And now the disciples had forgotten to take bread and they did not have more than one loaf with them on the boat. Then he charged them saying, take heed. Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, it is because we have no bread. But Jesus, being aware of it, said to them, "Why do you reason because you have no bread? Do you not yet perceive nor understand? Is your heart still hardened? Having eyes, do you not see? Having ears, do you not hear? And do you not remember? When I broke the 5 loaves for the 5,000, how many baskets full of fragments did you take up?" And they said to him, 12. "Also, when I broke the 7 for the 4,000, how many large baskets full of fragments did you take up?" And they said, 7. In verse 21, "So he said to them, how is it you do not understand?" Then we come to this portion of Scripture that's only found in the Gospel of Mark. He came to Bethsaida, and they brought a blind man to him and begged him to touch him. So he took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the town. And when he had spit on his eyes and put his hands on him, he asked him if he saw anything. And he looked up and said, "I see men like trees walking." Then he put his hands on his eyes again and made him look up, and he was restored and saw everyone clearly. Then he sent him away to his house, saying, "Neither go into the town nor tell anyone in the town." Heavenly Father, Lord, I just want to praise your name this morning. I want to thank you for how good you are to each and every one of us. Lord, your grace is sufficient. Lord, I thank you for New Hope Baptist Church. What a blessing it is that you called, Lord, a sinner like me to salvation. And Lord, you called me into the ministry. And Lord, I just pray that your glory is done at this local church. Lord, as we think about our own hearts this morning, Lord, when you're at work, we know that your adversary is not far behind. Lord, we know that when you're saving souls, people are being baptized. Lord, your church is flourishing. Lord, we know that there is an invisible rising that is among us. And Lord, so I ask the Holy Spirit today to convict our brothers and sisters in Christ that may be suffering with the leaven of the Pharisees and Herod. Lord, I thank you for revealing to me my sin issue, my problems of falling into a Pharisaic attitude. Lord, I pray for the unbeliever here today. As Lord, as we look at this story of the blind man, Lord, that your rebirth is powerful. That regeneration can only come from you. It's not in anything that we do. And Lord, as we look at this scripture today, Lord, may we be convicted. Lord, may we be encouraged. Lord, just be with us today. Lord, bless this local body today. And Lord, I ask that you strengthen us. I ask that you encourage us. I ask that you unite us, and it be done for your glory. And we ask this prayer in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. The Pharisees want a sign. Jesus said, "I'm not going to give you a sign." He gets in verse 13. He left the Pharisees and he got into a boat and he departed to the other side. They were going to Bethsaida, the hometown of Peter and Andrew. And as they make this journey, there's some conversations come along the way. And one of the conversations that come along the way when we look at this is that he tells them in verse 14, they start talking about they had gotten to take bread and they did not have more than one loaf with them in the boat. And Jesus charged them saying, "Take heed, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod." Now, let's stop right there and let's work our way through this for a moment. This is something that's been really on my heart for quite some time. And I think that all of us in here, if we'll be completely honest with ourselves, we fall into this trap of sin that the devil lays before us. So I want to work our way through this, of this this leaven. Leaven, of course, in the Bible is yeast. It causes the bread to rise. It is symbolic of sin.
and the symbolism of sin. Dr. Pentecost, a famous pastor at First Baptist Dallas, said very clearly it is a tendency that works invisibly. A tendency that works invisibly. And in any local church, when the Lord moves, in any local church where growth is projecting, in any local church where you have believers with different personalities, leaven begins to spread among us. And it may be due to the fact that some sheep have gotten so heavenly minded that they're no longer any earthly good. Or it may be for the fact that they're not sheep at all, but they're goats that have infiltrated the sheep. So now we have to start speaking to the heart this morning. Because that Pharisaic attitude can creep into us and we can become those people that we don't want to be. A pastor by the name of Larry Osborne at North Coast Church in San Diego County wrote a book called Accidental Pharisees. And I'm not trying to promote his book. I'm not trying to promote him. I'm just saying some of the things in there, the synopsis of the book, were pretty good. And I want to share those with you this morning because I think if we think about us and we look at our lives, we can definitely fall into these traps. And so let's just look at a couple of these for just a second, if you don't mind. In his book, he tackles these issues of being an accidental Pharisee. Sometimes we don't want to be a Pharisee, but it just comes upon us because of a attitude or an ego or selfishness or whatever that may be. And the first thing that he tackled was the legalistic attitude of pride. And he made it like this, that churches and usually church members suffer from comparisonitis. We compare ourselves to other brothers and sisters and we say that we are not as bad as brother so-and-so. Or we say that we're not as gossipy as sister so-and-so. And so we begin to compare ourselves, and with that we have an inflated ego of pride. And when we have that ego inflated with pride, then we are not allowed, because of our own stinking flesh, to administer grace and mercy where grace and mercy needs to be administered. So when we see one of our people in our own church, a brother that is going through trial or tribulation, that regardless if he's innocent or if he's guilty, the first thing we do with pride in our heart is we begin to make judgments instead of releasing grace and mercy upon that person that is in need. So pride can be a huge killer for Pharisees in the church. The second thing that Pastor Osborne tackles is this. Exclusivity. Let's talk about this for a second. We know that it is exclusive when we talk about the kingdom of God, because God will call His chosen to Himself. We know that the sheep will follow the shepherd. We know that the sheep will hear the shepherd's voice. We know that. That's scripture all throughout the Bible. But who is it for me to say that you can't come to New Hope Baptist Church? Who is it for me to say that because you're making this amount of money on your paycheck that you can't come here? Or your lack of making that kind of money? But there are churches in this community, if you don't have the right last name, if you don't have a number in your bank account, if you don't have a membership at the country club, you're not welcome into their church. Shame on them for doing that. We need to be a church that welcomes all people. Regardless of their status, regardless of their stature, we need to welcome all people into the house of God. Okay? I appreciate our youth pastor. We get some kids out here that may not know how to do church. And you have to teach them how to do church. And then if they don't want to do church the way church is set up, then you have to exercise church discipline. And sometimes you have to send kids to the house. And sometimes you don't let them come back. And we had a situation this past May where I had to send two kids to the house and they just can't come back. And there's a reason behind this. And don't think that we didn't exemplify grace. Don't think that we didn't administer mercy, because we showed it all throughout this process. But there is a fact. If a goat comes running with the sheep. And the goat wants to keep being a goat. They can't be with the sheep no more. Because what's going to happen is they're going to tamper everything that you're trying to do for the glory of the Lord. Are you with me this morning? So we need to remember that. We're not here to keep the riffraff out. Praise God, we want the riffraff to come. We want them to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. Third thing is this, Mr. Osborne talked about legalism. Everybody, when you hear Pharisee, you hear legalism. And Pharisees have always got a litmus test, don't they? In the Bible, Paul says, do not be drunk with wine. So Pharisee says, you can't drink anything. Paul says to the church of Corinth, you can't fornicate. So the Baptists say, you can't dance. Oh, better yet, you can't go to the swimming pool and swim with mixed couples. You got to swim with boys or you got to swim with girls. And boy, Baptists are great at being legalist and making up all these crazy rules that triumph the Word of God instead of relying on the Word of God. And when you teach the Word of God, it will convict man's soul to make a change in their life, nothing that the church implements. Legalism. Boy, if this ain't hitting you right between the eyes this morning, you're not here with me. Because this is stuff that's real. And so number four, Mr. Osborne says this. He says, Pharisees love to idolize the past. They love to idolize the past and say, well, 20 years ago, we did it this way at this church. 20 years ago, this is the way we did it at the church I came from. Or 20 years ago, this is what happened at this church. Or 20 years ago, and man, they idolize the past instead of being appreciative of the present beauty that God has blessed us with. Folks, it's great to reminisce about the past. But I'm not going to look back at New Hope Baptist Church 20 years ago because I can't go back there and there's nothing that I can do about it. But you know what? Praise God, I can relish in this Sunday here on October 3rd, 2021 and give Him praise for what He's doing here right now. I can't worry about that stuff. And I can't compare churches. We did it this way at this church and this way at this church. Folks, this is New Hope Baptist Church. We are a local church that's been built on the foundation of Christ with our own unique identity in Him on how He's created us. And for that, we need to give Him the praise. Not only that, but Mr. Osborne says that legalists like uniformity. Uniformity is this. Do it my way or the highway. Your way is always the right way, and nobody else can have an opinion that differs from yours. Because you're always right about everything. And since you're always right, you've got to dominate everything that's being done. And when you dominate everything that's being done, nobody has collaboration. Nobody has communication because, see, you're always right. And everybody else is always wrong. Can I tell you something from the pulpit today? There's none of us in here that's always right. You better say amen loud this morning. There's none of you in here that's always right. And if you think you're always right, you got a heart problem this morning. Do you realize that there are differing opinions in this church? And if somebody doesn't like the way that something's being done, it's okay for them to voice that opinion. Did you know that it's okay that people can disagree with you and they can do it in Christian love? Did you know that it's okay to do that today? But see, there's people in this church. Boy, I'm going to start preaching now. I said I wasn't going to do this, but I'm going to start preaching. There's people in this church that they've got to have it like Burger King. It's got to be their way. And if it's not their way, they get mad and they go somewhere else. They take their ball and they go home. They go find another church. They're church hoppers. If they don't get it their way, they're going to go somewhere else and disrupt everything else. I'm here to tell you today, it's not about us this morning, church. It's about the Lord Jesus Christ. And see, when we know this and we understand this and we know that there's no uniformity in the church because God does not like the uniformity in the church because of the way that He's created the body, what He enjoys is this, is that we're all in one accord that when we come in here this morning, we lay aside the trash and the junk that we have in our hearts and in our sinful flesh, and we lay that aside and we come here for one reason and one reason alone, and that's to praise the Lord Jesus Christ. So when we do that, we have this, not uniformity, but we have a heart of one accord. And that's what we need at New Hope Baptist Church. The last thing that he tackled is this. Gifts being used in the church.
Let's talk about those gifts. Every one of you in here that is a believer in Christ have been gifted with spiritual gifts. Many of you in here have been gifted with multiple gifts. And because you have a passion for that gift that the Lord has given you, because somebody else may not have that gift, you are automatically at war with them. Well, I really don't like singing in the choir. What? You don't like singing in the choir? You must be a heathen. There might be some of you here today, you don't have a passion for the Word of God, like Brother Schaefer or I, or some of you others here today that have that passion for teaching and preaching the Word of God. And you say, that's just not my gift. There may be some of you in here today say, golly, that Michael Mize at a business meeting, he's the worst moderator ever. Guess what? Because I don't have the gift of administration. God has not called me to that gift. When you're called to be a pastor or teacher, that doesn't automatically mean that He gives you the gift of administration to run a church like a corporation, because a church is not a corporation. We are the body of Christ, and you are gifted in here to come together and uniquely be knitted in one accord so that the body is working together. And sometimes I worry about this church because we run and we fall down. And then we crawl instead of getting up and putting one foot ahead of the other and walking together in one accord for Christ. Pharisees. Pharisees. Did I hit home with anybody this morning? Listen. Jesus told them, take heed, verse 15, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod. The Pharisees were that group that brought in the leaven of hypocrisy. They did not practice what they preached. They were totally opposite. They were as immoral could be. But on the outside, boy, they looked great. But on the inside, they were as dirty as dogs. And so when you look at these Pharisees this morning, they had this unbelief of Jesus Christ, this tendency to sin, and this level of hypocrisy. And in that, Jesus said, beware of this leaven, because there's many of you disciples that are putting man-made beliefs before the Word of God. And so many times we have people in the church that put their man-made institutions before the Word of God. And so when we're looking at this today, this leaven of the Pharisees, this tendency working invisibly, and the leaven of Herod. Now Matthew says it's the leaven of the Sadducees. We're not going to talk about the Sadducees this morning, but we are going to talk about the Herodians. And here's what the Herodians did. The Herodians followed Herod, and they supported the Roman government. And I get worried about us today that we put so much faith in our political system, and we put so much faith in a political leader, and we put so much faith in that person to bail us out of the situation that we're in, that we have to realize the only way this country will ever turn around is when people that are called to God will get on their knees in prayer before Him. And that's the problem. Herodians. Let me give you a classic example in the church. A classic example in the church, and people say, there's politics everywhere, amen, even in the church. Because my last name's on the charter of being a founding member, I get to have more say-so than everybody else in the church. Because I am a deacon, because I am an elder, because I am a pastor, because I'm the chairman of whatever committee, I am trumping over everybody else. And shame on you for using that kind of attitude. That political power that you may have been given to has not been given to you by man. It has been given to you by God. And so when we look at these Herodians, they always thought about who they were. They thought about who they thought they were. They thought about how big shot that they were in the church and all these titles that they had. And folks, Jesus is riding on a boat with His disciples. And He says, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and beware of the leaven of the Herodians. Because I can start to see it among you. Boy, I knew this wouldn't be a popular message to preach on Pastor Appreciation Day. So, what did Jesus say about the Pharisees? He said this, the Pharisees don't practice what they preach. Jesus said they always put a heavy burden on other people. Boy, I'm going to tell you what, there's some of you in here today, you're a blessing to me. And then there's some of you, you're a heavy burden.
because of the things you put on the pastors and put on the people of this church. You need to think about your hearts today, and we need to think about where we're at. There's another thing. The Pharisees, they do good deeds only to be seen by others. They want all the recognition they can get. If their name could be put on the front page of the Mineola Monitor, that's exactly what they want to do. They want a banquet done just for them. They want to be glorified. That's exactly what a Pharisee does. Not only do they do that, but they love the seat of honor. They're like Diotrephes in 2 John, where he loved the preeminence. He loved to have the preeminence in the church. This is the typical Pharisee. And Jesus is warning his disciples, don't let that leaven set in. Jesus said this, the Pharisees shut the door of heaven in front of people's faces. They make their followers twice as much the child of hell as they are themselves. Pharisees are blind guides, blind fools, and hypocrites. Pharisees, Jesus said, and Brother Schaefer, I'm finally going to get to use it. Brother Schaefer is talking about John the Baptist in Wednesday night Bible study. He said, Pastor, have you ever called anybody a brood of vipers? Well, maybe I'm not going to call you that today, but you know what Jesus said about the Pharisees? He said, number one, you're whitewashed tombs. And number two, he said, you're a bunch of brood of vipers. You're a brood of vipers. I want you to think about that today, about you. There are a lot of people before they even get to church. Can I just be real with you? Already griping about something. There's a lot of people before they even get into the door of church, they've already found something to complain about. There's people that come to church and the first thing they want to do is they want to roast everybody else. And they don't come to church for the right reasons. They only come to church, I think, to stir the pot. And my prayer is that we're not Pharisees and we're not Herodians. And we're not letting that yeast rise in this church house today. But praise God, when we come into His house, we come to His house to worship and praise Him. So Michael, what do I do? I'm struggling with this morning. I get it. I'm with you. Dude, I struggle with pride. I struggle with these things. We all do. We've all sin and falling short of the glory of God. How do I get past this disagreement with my brother? I just don't like him. I just don't like so-and-so, sister so-and-so. I just don't. They get on my nerves. How do we get past this? We get past this through the power of Jesus Christ. And so let's look. Here's the disciples, like us, over here talking about bread. They're over here saying it's because we have no bread. Verse 16. It's because we're not prepared. It's because we always forget. And then here comes Jesus in verse 17, and he says, Jesus, being aware of it, said to them, why do you reason because you have no bread? Do you not yet perceive nor understand? He asked a classic question that I think we need to ask ourselves this morning. He asked the disciples, he says, is your heart still hardened? Still hardened? Hey, can I tell you something about my years in ministry? 20 years in ministry. Been blessed. 19 years in ministry. Been blessed. But one thing I've noticed about Pharisees, they'll never admit that they are one. They never do. They always think that they're better than everybody else. They always think that they're right. You can't change their mind. And man, they're crazy as bat guano, I'm telling you. They're crazy. And when you try to deal with one and that you try to talk with one reasonably and you try to listen to what their reasonings are, you cannot get through their stubborn minds because they are hard-hearted. Hard-hearted. I remember Brother Harry Huff telling me a story when he was teaching the Bible at First Baptist Church in Mineola. Brother Harry told me, he said we was preaching on a doctrine here. And he said, we got to this verse, and the verse said this, and this guy come up to me after the class and got on to me really hard and started just really chewing on me really good. And Brother Harry simply said, Brother, you're very dogmatic about this. And that gentleman said, yes, I am, because I'm always right. There's a lot of people like that. They always think that they're right. They always think that what they say is the truth. They think that everything that is done is because of them. And Jesus is trying to get them to understand, is your heart still hardened? Boy, isn't that a good question this morning? Dr. John MacArthur said, our hearts are hardened because of two things. Number one, our hearts are hardened because we're a rebellious, sinful people. We have all fallen short of the glory of God, and we all sin. And when we let sin overtake our lives, what happens is you get a hard heart, a very hard heart, a heart that is not compassionate, a heart that shows no mercy, a heart that shows no grace, and you become very hard-hearted. Dr. MacArthur said, not only are you rebellious with a hard heart, but he also said that you are very spiritually insensitive with a hard heart, that you do not listen to the Holy Spirit's call. How many of you have sat in the church before and you know that you need to go apologize to that brother or sister because you done them wrong? But you won't go do it because you're stubborn. You're hard-hearted. You're spiritually insensitive to what the Lord is calling you to do. There's some of us in here today, we're very spiritually insensitive when it comes to people. I'm so thankful for New Hope Baptist Church that when people come to New Hope Baptist Church, they can truly realize that Jesus does give us new hope no matter where we're at in life. And when you come here to New Hope Baptist Church to understand that new hope that He gives us, my prayer to you is that you understand this. As people in this church, we do not need to be hard-hearted. I kind of got on to the church Sunday night because I'm compassionate about this. We had a couple come to our church. Didn't get spoken to except by one person. Didn't get invited back to anything except for the people that invited them in the first place. And that bothers me. Because I think we ought to be a church that's loving. I think we ought to be a church that's showing hospitality. I think we ought to be a church that's always welcoming people. Instead of being in our tunnel vision where we walk by people and don't speak, we go out of our way to speak to people. I've had people tell me, Pastor, you needed to be at the back shaking hands. Well, in case you forgot, we're in a pandemic. And let me tell you something real quick. I love going back there and shaking your hand and hugging your neck. I love that. Don't get me wrong. But since I've moved up here, I've had more intimate spiritual conversations with people that want to know the Lord, that know the Lord but have never been baptized, that want to be a part of a local church, and they want that one-on-one time with the pastor. Let me tell you where they can't get that one-on-one time with the pastor. When you're back there in the foyer and people are coming at you like cows going to lunch, right? And they trample over you, and here's this person behind them, and they want to sit there and they want to talk to you, but they can't. And I've had so many people back there tell me before, Pastor, I need to talk to you. I need to talk to you. That's why I make myself available up here. Anybody that needs to talk, I want you to come see me. I want you to come and talk to me about what your issues are. If you say, Brother Michael, I can't do that here, I'd rather go to have a cup of coffee with you or go to lunch with you, you let me know when, and we'll go. We'll go. I want to make myself accessible. And so when we talk about these things today, we talk about the leaven of the Pharisees, we talk about the leaven of Herod that spreads throughout a local church, spreads into the disciples. Jesus asks us a great question, guys. Are you still hard-hearted? Then he gives them a little history lesson. Having eyes, do you not see? Having ears, do you not hear? And do you not remember? Do you not remember? In verse 19, when I broke the five loaves to the 5,000, how many baskets full of fragments did you take up? And the disciples said to him, 12. Remember? A basket for each of them. They knew that. Then he goes on and he says this. He said, when I broke the seven for the 4,000, how many large baskets full of fragments did you take up? And they said to him, 7. They remembered that there was their personal baskets, and they remembered that there was these human-sized baskets full of fragments given to the 4,000. And Jesus asked them this next question. He said to them, how is it that you do not understand? Hey, church, can I tell you something? All of our hypocritical attitudes from the Pharisaic mindset, along with our attitudes of being like Herodians in the church, it only amounts to a hill of beans. Why we come into His house is not to argue about bathroom wallpaper. Why we come to His house is not to argue about what's going on in this Sunday school room compared to that Sunday school room. We don't come to church to make these meaningless efforts to gripe about everything that is being bombarded into this church, but we come to this house to worship Almighty God. That's why we do this. And if we get our hearts right, those Pharisaical attitudes, along with that Herodias type mindset, goes to the wayside, and we come into His house to sing praises to Him, to pray in His name, to give to Him abundantly, to preach and proclaim His word, to fellowship with each other. And when we have that sweet fellowship in one accord, church, can I be honest with you? There's nothing like it. Nothing thrills a pastor more than to see the local church in one accord praising and giving Him the honor that He deserves. So, how do you not understand? Matthew tells us in his gospel that they did understand. They did understand. So, Michael, what do I do? Man, I get in here, and sometimes when I get to serving in the church, all I do is get griped at. Right? When I get here at church, the only thing I ever get encountered with is somebody's got a problem. Michael, what do I do when I come to church and all there is complaining and murmuring all the time? Well, let me tell you what you do. You just keep working until Jesus comes. And He tells us this very clearly. This miracle is only recorded in the Gospel of Mark. And I love this, that it comes right after the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod. Jesus goes and He does a miraculous miracle that is a beautiful picture of why we do what we do. Let's take a look. So He said to them, "How is it that you do not understand?" Matthew 16:12 says that they did understand. And they came to Bethsaida, that hometown of Andrew and Peter. And as they got there, here comes a blind man to Him. The Bible says they brought a blind man to Him. Aren't you thankful we've preached about those friends that bring others to Jesus, right? And so they brought this blind man to Him and they begged Jesus to touch him. And so He took the blind man by the hand and He led him out of the town. Now this is important. He didn't want a public demonstration of His power, of who He was. He led the man out of Bethsaida because the man wasn't from Bethsaida, as we're going to find out here in just a minute. And what He did is that He brought him out of town, and He did this. We've seen Him do this before. He spit on his eyes, and then He put His hands on him. And remember, we talked to you earlier when He healed the blind man about the power of saliva, that the Jews, the Romans, all the ancient world believed in this power of saliva. But let me tell you something. There's only one person that can spit on your eyes and restore your eyesight, and that's Jesus Christ. And so He spit on his eyes, put his hands on him, and I want you to look at what he said. He asked him if he saw anything. Verse 24, the man looks up and he says, "I see men like trees walking." Now you may find that strange. I did when I studied this. That's strange. This is a beautiful picture of regeneration for the lost when Christ brings His sheep to Himself. Okay, this man is blind. Jesus spits on his eyes, puts his hands over him, says, "Do you see anything?" And the man says, "I see men walking like trees." Okay, I didn't know this. As a young dad, I knew I was going to mess up severely. I was scared to death when we were going to bring our little baby Brooke home. And I'll never forget, as we carried baby Brooke to the pediatrician, and we got a great pediatrician in Tyler, Texas, Dr. Rick Rogers. We love him. He gives us great advice on everything, but maybe the vaccines. But anyways, we love him. And he told me as a new dad, and he told Jacqueline, he's so gentle, and he's such a great Christian man. We love him. He said, "Jacqueline, Michael," he said, "when Brooke gets here," he said, "what you gonna do?" He said, "When they're young, they can't see real good. As a matter of fact, they can only see large objects. He said, so you're going to get right in her face, okay? And you're going to smile at her. And I know this sounds hokey, but it's so true. You're going to smile at her. You're going to sing to her. God bless her. You're going to read a book to her. You're just going to have that intimate relationship with her. And Jacqueline and I did that. We did that with all four of our girls. And it, let me tell you, the best feeling you can ever have is when that little toot looks back at you and smiles. Hey, and kicks her little arms and legs. And I'd come home from work, and I'd been coaching all day, and I was so tired. I'd come home from work, and I'd run over to see Brooke, and I'd reach in there, and her little old face would light up, and she'd be kicking her legs. That was a great feeling. Hey, listen. The man said he saw men walking like trees. Men walking like trees. Like a newborn baby, he could see objects. Aren't you thankful today in this illustration? When Jesus saves our soul at the moment of regeneration, he gives us the gift of faith. And when he does, we see objects really big. Right? I remember when I first got saved by the Lord Jesus Christ on that patio right across the street over here. It was on my brother Cody's birthday, September 3rd, 1987. And I ran down there, and Daddy's cooking barbecue chicken for a birthday party. And I told Daddy, Jesus, save me. I went in, I told Mama, Jesus, save me. I went and told Nanny and Granddaddy and all our family, hey, Jesus, save me. And boy, it was a reciting time, a rejoicing time. But in that process of walking with Him, oh boy, did I fall. Can I get a witness this morning? Oh boy, were there times that I was crawling. Oh boy, were there times when Jesus had to pick me up and carry me home. And as He did this rebirth, this being born again, I am thankful that He put me through the process of sanctification. I go through the process of sanctification here this morning. I will go through the process of sanctification until I am called home to be with Him. And I have to remember this. I am the dirt. He is the Creator. I have to remember that I am the clay. He is the potter. I have to remember that He is the one that ordains my steps, not Michael Myers. And as I remember this sanctification process that He takes me through, and for you guys here today that are new believers or you're not believers at all, sanctification simply means He is making you more and more like Him. He says, you be holy because I am holy. There is a sanctification process. And in this beautiful picture of the blind man in Mark, you see the spiritual rebirth. But praise God, there's a day coming, church, where there will no longer be any Pharisees. Praise God, there's a day coming where there will no longer be Herodians. Praise God that there's a day coming where all the backbiting and all the bickering and all the complaining and all the griping will go by the wayside. Praise God that there's a day coming. And listen, in verse 25, Jesus put His hands on His eyes again and made Him look up. Listen to this. The blind man was restored, and he saw everyone clearly. Church, there's coming a day for you that have been born again. There's coming a day for you and I that are being sanctified. There is coming a day where we will see clearly again, and that is when we are glorified in Jesus Christ. Praise God, Preston, there's coming a day where we're going to have a new body and a new life. Praise God, there's coming a day where we're going to walk on the streets of gold. Praise God, there's coming a day where there'll be no tears in my eyes. Praise God, there's coming a day where I won't have to listen to griping and complaining anymore. Praise God, there's coming a day where all we'll do is worship Jesus Christ. I look forward to that day. Glorification. So, let me leave you with this. The Pharisees are attacking, right? They're punching us in the mouth. And I told Jacqueline this morning before I come to church, I said, it just works me up so much. I just get so upset. Right before I come to church, I just get worked up. I just get so upset, and I appreciate my beautiful wife being there to listen to my complaining, because I can be very pharisaic too. And as I get so worked up about things and whatever in church, I come to church to be renewed, to be healed, to listen to His still small voice that speaks to us in a mighty way, through song, through prayer, through the preaching and teaching of His Word. And praise God, when the Pharisees attack, when the Herodians attack, know that you don't give up, you don't give in, you just keep walking for Christ. And as you walk for Christ, you realize that it is not salvation of anything that we have done, it is a gift from God. And we realize that we are called to go and to preach the gospel, every one of us in here. Michael, I'm not a preacher. The word means proclaim. The world means to herald. When you go out into the community, we should be an example for Jesus Christ. And so as we do that, what happens next? Well, in verse 26. The Bible says Jesus sent him away to his house, and he told him two things. Neither go into the town. So we know that he wasn't living in Bethsaida. We know that he was living in a village outside of there. Neither go into the town, because he commanded him to go to his house. And then number two, he says, nor tell anyone in the town. Now, this is the only time this miracle is recorded in the Gospel of Mark. And I like what Dr. John MacArthur said about this. When you have been reborn, and it's not because of your effort, it's because of all what He's done for us. When you are being sanctified, and you're being made holy because He's holy, He gets all glory, honor, and praise, and in this, what happens next? Dr. MacArthur hit this right on the head of the nail. He said, this gentleman right here, we never hear about him again, and we know that he obeyed Jesus because he didn't go back into the town, nor did he tell anyone. And one of the fruit of the Spirit that you'll see in a believer's life is they will be obedient to their Lord and Savior. And so my advice to us today is keep on working until Jesus comes. I want to leave you with this, and we'll close out in our Bible study Wednesday night. And listen, for all of you that can't come on Wednesday night, or you've got things going on Wednesday night, readjust your schedule so that you can come plug in. We're in the Gospel of John here at 6 o'clock with Brother Schaefer, at 7 o'clock with Brother Curry in the book of Ephesians. And there is nothing more beneficial to a believer than to go verse by verse in the Word of God. There's nothing more beneficial for you and I to get fed the Word of God. Brother Curry shared with us in Ephesians chapter 4 in the church that there will be characteristics exemplified by the church in the local body, and he got this from Dr. Warren Wiersbe. I want to leave these with you today. I ask you a question through Jesus Christ this morning in the Scripture. Are you still hard-hearted? Now I want to ask you these four questions as we leave. In the local church, when you come to worship, is there evidence of Christ-likeness? Is there evidence of that today? Number two, Dr. Wiersbe says, is there doctrinal stability today? That when the next cowboy church springs up down here on 1801, you're not going to go down there because you like that style of music. That there is doctrinal stability, that you're not tossed to and fro by the ways of the world, but you are firmly planted on the doctrines of grace and the Word of God. This is crucial, church. Number three, Dr. Wiersbe asked this. In church, do you share truth with love, or is your truth shared with hate and angst? Or do you share truth with the goal of restoration?
with the goal of winning a brother to Christ. And then last but not least, what we'll see in the local church. Boy, howdy. I love you guys. I appreciate this church. But for pastor appreciation, and listen, I told Jacqueline a while ago, we've never been here before. This is going to be fun to go to Oklahoma. I'm excited about this. You guys are awesome. Okay? We love you guys. But the greatest gift you could ever give a pastor for pastor appreciation is a church that cooperates in Christ. And Dr. Warren Wiersbe says, when you have a church that is centered on Christ, that is centered on doctrinal stability, that speaks the truth in love, then you will have a church that cooperates, not because you're trying to please the body, but because you're trying to please the head. And the head of our church is not Michael Mize. The head of our church is the Lord Jesus Christ. Heavenly Father, Lord, I ask that you convict our souls today. Lord, I thank you for revealing to me my hypocritical attitude. I thank you for revealing to me my faults and my weaknesses. Lord, I thank you for calling me to repentance. Lord, I thank you for humbly giving me the attitude of humbleness to come before you. Lord, because I can't in my own flesh. You know me oh too well. Lord, we do need you every hour, every minute, everything that's ever going on in our lives, we need you. Lord, I pray for our people here today that may be struggling with an attitude of pharisaical natures. I pray for today the people that are dealing with an attitude of being a Herodian. Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit convict their heart. Lord, for us as believers today, I pray that we're encouraged that when we go through the pitfalls of ministry and we see the leaven of the Pharisees and Herod spring up in our lives and in our church, I'm thankful that there's the rest of the story. I thank you for encouraging us today through the story of you healing the blind man. And Lord, that story today is a story that we can proclaim to the uttermost, a story of how you saved our wretched souls, a story today of how you are cleaning us up for the kingdom of God. You are using us as a vessel of honor. And Lord, we praise you for that today. But Lord, there's a day coming where us as believers will be glorified. And oh, what a day that will be. Lord, I pray for my unsaved friends, my unsaved family. Lord, my unsaved co-workers, people that I know. Lord, I pray today that under the power of your Holy Spirit, that though they be dead in the trespasses of sin, Lord, you have showed mercy and grace upon them. And Lord, I pray today is the day of salvation. We love you, Lord. We praise your name and we give you all the glory here today. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Hey, church. Again, on behalf of Jacqueline and I, we'd just like to say thank you. We love you and appreciate you. Come back tonight. We're in the book of Proverbs. We'll be in Proverbs chapter 14 this evening. And I think there's going to be some type of refreshments back in the back afterwards. So I hope you'll come and join us and visit with us. Be here on Wednesday. I can't tell you how crucial it is. Get fed. Get fed the Word of God. Be here for our Wednesday Bible studies. Be here for our youth group. Be here for what's going on in Wednesday services. Next Sunday, really excited. We're going to get to hear from our missionary. And then we're going to get to hear another portion of the Word of God. So I'm excited what the Lord is doing here at New Hope Baptist Church. Just continue to pray. Love you guys. Appreciate you. Let's stand. Let's sing a song of praises as we're dismissed. Brother John.